Good morning. I want to pray because this commandment, I really liked last week and I thought, gee, I would have liked to give that message on resting and Sabbath. But I get the one about honoring parents and that's a little bit different. So I'm going to pray right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come. And I pray that you would anoint the words of this message with your love, your grace, your compassion, your mercy. So that everyone would know that you are truly a good God and that you are about setting life in order, setting love in order, and you want to do that in our lives, no matter what our story is. So we just invite you here, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, honoring father and mother. And I wanted to give you two references in this, if you open up your little card here. Some people think, well, it's in the Old Testament, so it doesn't count now, but you'll find that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, he talks about honoring father and mother. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 20:12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." In Ephesians 6:2-3, it says, "Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Now, the question here today is, how many of you had perfect parents? You never dishonored. You never were tempted. Well, this message isn't for you if you did have perfect parents. This message is for the rest of us. Many of us can agree with Mark Twain when he said, "When I was 14, I couldn't believe how ignorant my father was. When I turned 21, I was so surprised at what he had learned in 7 years." And some of us are like that. We go through those rocky years of teenage years, and we come out to the adult side, and all of a sudden, especially when you have children of your own, you go, "Ah, now I understand." Well, unfortunately, there are others of us who never knew the loving relationship of a good, honorable parent in their lives. And there are various degrees. Every one of you has a story. Every one of you has hurts. Every one of you has wounds. And this whole talk is about, well, I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching about what we do in the prayer room, because this is our number one issue that we deal with. And if you can get a handle on this issue, you can have so much more peace. The turmoil you feel, anxiety, things in life, even poverty can come through dishonoring of parents. So it's extremely important that you understand this command. If you want to start here, some of you love to do this, so now I'm starting. I'm going to try and let you know when I'm giving you an answer. Our parents are supposed to be, in God's divine plan, the first representation of God to us. Therefore, our picture of God is directly tied to what our picture of our parents is. And that's why just this morning when Brandon was saying, "What's your image of Jesus?" Many of us can have a very good image of Jesus, but we don't have a very good image of God the Father. And that's where this, what we're going to talk about today, is so important. We are supposed to be able to come boldly and freely before the throne of our Father in heaven. And so much of the fact that we're raised by dishonorable parents, or we dishonored them, when we dishonored them, actually, that has stopped our ability to go to God the Father. So trusting and obeying God is first learned in home through the relationship with our parents. If you could trust your father to protect you, you will be able to trust God the Father to protect you. If you could talk to your father, and he heard you and was open to hear your heart, you will have an easy time talking to God the Father. That was one of my things. My parents protected me, took care of me. They were good parents, but they were raised in the Depression and through World War II, and a lot of people in that generation shut off their hearts because emotions really come when you have a good socioeconomic climate. If you're going through war and a lot of depression, you can't afford emotions. And so a lot of them shut their emotions off. And so for me to go to my father and talk to him about any problems was major. And so when I had to start having a quiet time as a Christian, I had a difficult time because I just felt like it wasn't going anywhere. So I had to forgive my dad for that. Unfortunately, many people have been hurt and broken by a parent in a real way or an imagined way. And I do want to say that because sometimes we, because we're fallen also, misread what our parents do. So it can be real or imagined. We've been hurt by them either being absent or not acting honorably towards us. Now I think about in the military, how many military men are gone from their families, especially in the last 20 years where we've had so many wars. Those parents, those fathers are absent from their family, and so that is going to be shaping the child and the view they have of their father and of Father God. And that's through nobody's fault except the way life is. It's easy to honor an honorable parent. God, the Father, was the most honorable parent, and yet Adam and Eve didn't honor them. So it didn't honor him. So we're just going to talk now about what the fifth commandment is about, and we're going to do this with a lot of grace and love and mercy. That's what we need with this. The fifth commandment is the last commandment on the tablet. Moses had two tablets, and the first one was all about God. And you had you want to not take the Lord's name in vain, you know, worship God. Sabbath actually is also about covenant. Sabbath means seven. It's about the covenant. God was emphasizing covenant with Sabbath rest. But this one, this last one, is about our relationship with God and with our parents, God through our parents, because learning submission to our parents is, in essence, learning submission to God. When our parents are there caring for us and they're requiring things of us, we have to learn to submit to their authority. Just as even now, some of you are probably having a little bit of a hard time even hearing what I'm saying, because your parental relationship was so bad that for me to talk about it, it's like a wall goes up. Don't even want to go there. But for your sake, God has given you this, and he's given repentance so that we can change this. The fifth commandment is truly a spiritual description of how life works, okay? It's not a guideline only. It is a spiritual description of how life works. It's the only commandment that's got a promise. The promise is for good if you honor them. The promise is for bad if you dishonor them. And you can honor your parents in 1,000 ways or more, and you can dishonor your parents in the same way. So in some ways, you may have loved your father's sense of humor, but you hated the way he disciplined. And you end up having a wonderful sense of humor, but you come as your own, as a parent, and you end up disciplining in the same way as you grow and have your own family. There are no exceptions to this. I want you to hear that. There are no exceptions. John Sanford of Elijah House Ministries has stated that almost every failure in life can be traced sooner or later to the breaking of one commandment: honor your father and your mother. That's heavy. Pastor Sean, on his Mother's Day message, he reiterated this in his way of saying, honoring father and mother is the corner piece in the puzzle of life to build a life full of blessings. If you learn to honor, even if they're dead, you can do this, your life will have blessings. So, what does it mean to honor? We are, in essence, to honor all people, and we live in a very dishonoring society. If you ever go into the Orient or meet with a large group of people that come from from China or Japan or Korea, you will find they are very honoring people. And we truly stand out next to them as ugly Americans, because we do not understand what it is to honor. But in the Bible, God has given us the command to honor. We are to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And part of love is honoring, respecting. So we're to honor all people on the basis of personhood or identity. They are created in the image of God. He has placed within them gifts, that reflect His nature. But with our parents, they are the ones who are the first to reflect God's nature to us, and we are to honor them because they gave us life and they are there to reflect God's nature. We're to honor all people on the basis of relationship, whatever relationship you have, whether they're an authority, whether they're a friend, whether they're a parent, you honor them because of the relationship. You honor people on the basis of their position. When people are in authority over you, whether you like them or not, there is a certain amount of honor that goes to their position. And we are not to honor on the basis of performance or behavior. And this is extremely difficult to get because we are to separate sin from sinner. And St. Augustine said, you must love, that you must hate the sin, but not so much as to hate the sinner, but you must love the sinner, but not so much as to condone their sin. And this is where it's a real walking out of the tension there of how do you do that? And this is going to be some of your story with your parents because of what your particular story is. And you guess what? You don't get to know if you're truly honoring your parent, it's on your little sheet, until you're in a situation where your parents either appear to be or are unfair, unreasonable, and otherwise faulty in your opinion. You do not know what it is to honor until you're in that position, and you have to do something that you don't like. I can remember when I was getting healing with my mother, I was the middle child, and I was different than all the rest. I was the dreamer. I was the artist. I was not the very direct, hard-charging one. And so my mother, she really worried about me. She used to say to me, how are you going to make it in this world? God gave me a disciplined husband. That's part of why I got to make it. But so she would ride me. And I'll tell you, every Saturday we had chores, and I would spend hours in that bathroom, cleaning that bathroom, because there was always something I missed in that bathroom. So in my healing, God took me into that bathroom as part of the healing process, and I could see myself in that bathroom. And he showed me this little brightly colored bird like an indigo bunting, and he said, now this was you, Pat. He said, I gave you your mother to bring order into your life. And he said, she didn't always do it right. But he also said, but you didn't like to be told no. And I think that's really where most of us are. We don't want to be told no. We don't want to be told what we're doing when we're young, but also when we're growing up either. You know, that thing doesn't change in us. That's sort of a constant. But honoring has nothing to do with feelings. You don't do it because emotionally you feel like it. You do it as a moral choice. This is something you do because God has told you, and God knows the end from the beginning, and He knows what's good for you. God is good. So it's an intentional decision to act sometimes when you don't feel your parents are valuable. You act as if they are. Sometimes that's the only thing you can do, is act as if they are. In obedience to God, and you sometimes have to go through some deep healing so that you don't respond out of bitterness and pain, but you want to respond out of obedience. Honoring doesn't mean that you approve or agree with their sin, and that's very important because some of us have parents who have been involved in terrible sins. That doesn't mean you say it's okay. It just means you still honor them. And honoring also, this isn't on your sheet, and I wish I'd put it on there, but honoring also does not mean that you stay in a personally dangerous situation. You need to know that. If you are in danger, and not only physical danger, but there is an emotional danger that comes with some parents who can who try to control to the point that your very personhood is being sucked out of you. You have the right to separate, and I would seek healing and I would seek counsel in that case. But the main question after learning about what honoring is how do we do that with parents who have hurt or abandoned us? How do we honor? Because emotionally, we aren't there. The first step in all healing is recognition. You have to recognize where you've dishonored. And as we get into this, I want to state that we're not responsible for the bad things that happen to us. It is not your fault a lot of times what the bad thing that happened to you is. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, you know, it's a result of our own sinful nature, but you're not responsible for those things that were put upon you. But you are responsible before God for your reaction to it. Whether you forgive or whether you don't, whether you isolate, whether you decide to hate, whatever it is, you're responsible for your reaction. So as you are recognizing where you may have dishonored your parents, choose to look very honestly. One thing to think about is, what areas did you say, I will never be like that? If you said, I will never be like that, there's a real good chance there's dishonoring in that particular statement. And you can say have said that for many, many things. Healing the wounds of our past will not come from isolating our parents or from blaming, isolating from our parents or from blaming them. Those are the two most common reactions with dishonorable parents. We either isolate, especially as a teenager, we will shut ourselves off from our parents, we'll go to our room, live in our room, go to the mall, go with our friends, but we will not be with our parents. We shut off our heart from them. And you can see as an adult, when kids leave home, when they're dishonoring their parents, they won't call them for years. They won't send them cards. They don't care. They just cut off. And that's not right. And the other is blaming them for everything. You know, that's one thing when we teach Elijah House, we've had some people say, well, gosh, you're just blaming her parents. Oh, no. Recognizing where they have failed is not about blame. It's about stating a fact so that you can come to the cross and ask forgiveness for judging them and forgive them for what has been done. But we're not about blaming. We're just about seeking the cause so that it can be taken care of. To harbor bitterness and unforgiveness towards a parent is dishonoring them. So forgiving them is honoring. I'll go into that. Dishonoring is about disobeying and disrespecting them as a minor child and not holding them as valuable in your heart as an adult child. Because we go through many stages in life. Judging is a huge thing, but judging is different. Dishonoring is part of it, but judging is about defining them by and despising them for their faults. If you have said, my dad's a drunk, or he's just a fool, whatever. You know, there's a certain, when people come into the prayer room and I'm talking with them, I can tell from the tone of voice whether there's judgment there or not. Because somebody else can come in and say, my father really had a problem with drinking. But I don't sense that anger and that hatred in there that's in the heart of some. And so, you know, you have to, that's something you have to look at. Have I judged my parents? Have I defined them and despised them for their faults? This next step, understanding this, your stage of life, is very important because honoring parents changes with your stages of life, okay? And human beings are messy. If you haven't figured that out now, I just need to give you that thought. Human beings are messy. We're all messy. We bumble and stumble through life, even trying to live according to this word. We are still trying, and we fail a lot. And this is especially true as you undergo the transformations from being a small, an infant in your parents' house, going through teenage years, being tween years to teenage, and then going out on your own. Every stage of life has different emotional heartbreak. And so we need to be aware of that. It's not going to be easy. Minor children, in that, honoring consists of obedience, respect. This is I underlined respect because John and I have been teaching Sunday school for over 20 years in fifth and sixth grade Sunday school, and we've seen this amazing decline in respect in kids, just an amazing decline. Listening to their guidance, being concerned for their welfare. Be concerned for mom and dad. They're human beings too, and they're carrying the weight of providing for you on their shoulders, watching out for your welfare. And appreciating their care. Minor children include the totally dependent child to the individuating teenager. That means it includes the little ones who run to you with eyes of adoration. You know, you've been there as parents when you've had those little ones and they just think you're the most wonderful thing in the world. And it goes on through those years where they begin to discover that you have faults. And they're not afraid to tell you about your faults. And there's this affliction that comes around the 12 years old that seems to come to most kids, and it's this affliction of eye rolling, you know. Don't you wish there was a pill? They ought a pill for everything else. They ought to be a pill that keeps the eyes from rolling. And so it goes through all this gamut. That's the minor child. Adult children, the second stage is adult children, and I want to say outside the home, because if you're an adult child still living at home, you do have some differences, because if you are still under the care of your parents, there are some differences that go with some things. It's a real thing about, you know, taking care, contracting with one another, how you'll get along. But outside the home, when you're starting a family of your own, you come into a whole new level. You're no longer required to obey them, but you are required to care about them and to respect them, to be concerned for their welfare. You're still required to do that. And this is a hard time. And, you know, you newlyweds or us married a long time, you know, the first Christmas is, where do we go? What family do we spend our time with? And children come, which mom comes first? How long do they stay? I mean, there's all kinds of little things that may not seem like much, but it's, well, how much do I listen to mom about what she's telling me? There's all these things where the rules change, and everybody's sort of trying to get their footing again to do that, to understand that. So just know that this is trying, and once again, we'll go on and find out how to handle this. There is I'm giving you a bunch of resources. You'll find at the end of your thing here, there's a whole bunch of resources that may help you in whatever place in life you're in. But we have a CD on in-laws by a pastor named John Fichtner, and we got permission years ago to make copies of it. So you can get a copy of that. If you're going to be an in-law, if you're a child, you're going to have a mother-in-law and a father-in-law, and if you're a parent, you're going to have a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law. And so this addresses how do you handle in-law problems. It's a very balanced teaching, and it will set you free to live according to the way God wants you to live in this situation. And then finally, the third stage in life is adult children with aging parents. In Hebrew, in the Torah, the emphasis was on taking care of aging parents. And this in itself brings a lot of problems too. I remember when my dad aged. My dad was a Marine, and he was this big, strapping man. But by the end of his life, he couldn't walk, he couldn't see, and it was really hard. And if anybody's been there, I want to tell you, it's a hard time, and you cry a lot because you just hurt so much for them. But as they get older, there's all kinds of things. Dementia, and there's different kinds of dementia. If you have a parent with dementia where you watch them disappear before your eyes. You know, they don't remember anything. They get to where they don't remember you. That's tough. And there's a way to honor that. And then there's a dementia, I can't remember, it has bones in there somewhere, where they get mean. And you have to deal with being unjustly accused and having to go through a lot of things like that. So each one of these stages, there's a different way to honor. And so it's real important that we recognize the differences. The good news is you are not alone at any stage in your life. No matter where you are, you're not alone. God is there for you. And I love the way God, he's there in the midst of the worst situations. You know, he's near the brokenhearted. A lot of times you're brokenhearted in this type of situation, these situations. And he wants you to go to him. So step three is focus on God. Learn to make him your confidant in all things. Focus on his love, his ways, and his grace. And grace is that supernatural empowerment to get you to do the things that you can't do in your own strength, to be the one, to be the honoring child that you think that you can't be. So you seek him and insights into every situation. When you're having a problem and you feel overwhelmed, don't go and tell this person or that person. Don't triangulate and get a whole bunch of people against a parent. You need somebody to vent on. But that person should have grace to be able to speak back to you and say, I hear you and love you there, but say, let's honor God in this too. The practicum I have, and Zach, can you put on the Running to God as a Refuge card? We have these available for you. Running to God as a Refuge card is a practical way to run to God in the midst of relational difficulties, within and without the family. I was watching my own grandson in a little situation that happened at their home, and it wasn't any big blow-up, but I watched him, when his mother said something to him, I watched him turn, and I watched this thing go right over his face. And I knew, wow. And he left the room, didn't say a word, but left the room, and I thought, there was just a wound there. There was an arrow that went in at that point. And so as a result of that, I came back the next week and taught this to our Sunday school. And so I think I've got this pretty well memorized if we don't have it up there. But do you know, this is on a prayer card that you can put in your Bible. The first thing about running to God as a refuge is you tell him exactly how you feel. Get alone with him. And if you feel like screaming, scream it out. Be honest. Tell him exactly how you were hurt, how you felt this person disrespected you or didn't listen, whatever the wound is. And you tell God. And you let him know. And then you, by an act of your will, this has nothing to do with feelings. It's the intentional moral choice to forgive your parent. You say, okay, God, I'm choosing right now to forgive them. And so you do that. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll do it like part of another prayer is, you know, they owe me nothing, they owe me nothing. Sometimes I have to say that 20 times. They owe me nothing, they owe me nothing. And pretty soon there it just sort of clicks in your heart and you realize, okay, I can go on with this prayer. The third part is you say, God, did I do anything that might have caused this? Did I, you know, contribute to this this flare-up, whatever went on? And you have to be honest and listen. If God says, yes, you disrespected them, yes, you shut off from them, yes, whatever it is, and if that's the case, then you have to go and make amends. You have to bring the altar to your parents. Or if you're an adult parent of a child and there's a rift there, if you've overstepped your bounds and opened your mouth and given advice when you weren't asked for it, something like that, you need to go to your child and say, you know what, I'm really sorry. I'm learning too. I'm learning to walk the new way too. So you bring the altar if you've had anything to do with it. And then you ask God, what do you want me to know about this? And he will download truth into you. And I will say, you know, as it's been interesting because as my children have grown and gotten married, I've gotten my feelings hurt a lot. But because of using this tool on a regular basis, I'm able to forgive them and really have God show me, you were wrong, Pat. You know, this. Yes, I understand why you're hurt, but they have their own life too. And so that's part of learning to walk and walking with God. From the tweens to the elderly, this particular tool is going to teach you dependence on God and his grace and the insights you need to keep your relationships good before God. Number four is you decide as a moral and intentional choice to obey God in honoring parents. It's not about a feeling, once again. It's a choice. And when you choose to forgive, I just want to share with you, you know, Matthew 18, a lot of you know Matthew 18. This is where Peter came up to Jesus. He was speaking to a group of believers, and Peter thought he was really being generous when he said, God, how many times should I forgive? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And that doesn't mean you keep your little scorecard and check off when you get to 489, you got only one more time to go. That was his way of saying you forgive always. And he told the story of the rich ruler who the rich man who had gone into tremendous debt to the king and went up and couldn't pay his bill, and the king forgave it. That meant it's gone. And he went out and found a fellow who owed him $20, and he had him thrown in jail. And when the king found out, it said, summoning him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. And what he's saying in that is, if you do not forgive, there's a promise of turmoil in your heart. There's torment and turmoil. And I know we're all human, so you know what I'm talking about. Something happens, and you just feel this stuff, and you start, well, I should have said this, I'll do this. And that's not coming from God. So seek to forgive quickly. You not only forgive the bad things that they've done to you or that you think they've done, but you forgive the absence of good. Okay? We're living in a society, in 2012, 40% of births were out of wedlock births. And out of that, you think of how many did not have fathers. Okay? Father, there's all kinds of terrible statistics for being raised in a fatherless home. And when I'm talking about the absence, this is where you have to forgive the absence of having that father to go to baseball games, to teach you how to play baseball, to take you to McDonald's, the absence of having that presence of mentoring you. So you don't just forgive the bad, you forgive the absence of the good. And the more thorough the recognition of your offenses are, the more things that you can say, yes, I remember when this happened, when that happened. They've done studies of the brain. It will be a more thorough release for you. Your forgiveness will have a much more a larger effect upon you as you forgive specifically and as much as you can. The practicum here is a fourfold forgiveness prayer that is based on Romans 12, 14. And any thorough act of forgiveness includes blessing. And that can be the hardest thing in the world, is to bless someone who's hurt you. But you need to bless those who have spitefully used you. That's in, it says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Leave vengeance to God. When I was in the prayer room one time, this particular fourfold forgiveness, it has you list all the things that have offended you that by this person, and you list every memory you have, and then you go on to the next part of what do they have against you, what have they told you that they don't like. And this can be real or imagined, again, because they may be saying you did something and you're saying I didn't do it. It's okay, you list that, and then you list how you would want God to bless them. And finally, how you want God to bless you. And then there's prayers that are on this, where you pray into each one of these different situations. You pray into it, and you ask God to remove the pain and do it. And this is such a tremendous tool. It is so beautiful for setting people free. And I had a lady come to me. She was leaving to move to another state to be near her father. She had been raised in a family of nine, and her mother was mentally ill. She had a friend. Her mother was French, and so she hated her father, because the mother with the nine children, dad would come home and she'd have him beat the kids, and so there was this terrible time. In doing this particular exercise, she kept saying at the beginning, she said, "He is a pig. He is a pig," and it was like I'd never heard that one before. And when you're sitting in the prayer room a long time, that's all I could picture was this man with this pig head on, you know. But by the end of this message, by the end of the exercise, she was weeping for him. Compassion had been restored to her soul. And so I want to encourage you for that. The sixth step is setting boundaries. And there's a book called The Boundaries by Cloudon Townsend he has several boundaries books. A boundary is not a wall. It's a line in the sand that, when crossed, elicits a predetermined consequence, but still allows for relationships to continue. A wall keeps people out. You do not want a wall. You want to be able to have movement in between. And a boundary is not about revenge. It's about finding healthy ways for you to get along. The final step is to be grateful in everything. Find ways to something good about your parents. Look for the good that was in them. Sometimes it will only be about the DNA. That you know, if you had an absent parent, you were raised in foster homes, you have nothing, you never knew them, you can look and say, well, thank you, God, for my intelligence, my looks, my athletic ability, whatever it is. It may come down to that, but that's the best way to honor them. and then specifically think about your parents' stories and what they've experienced and overcome. Sift through the sand of your parents' lives, their personalities, their gifts, their actions, and focus on the gold that's amidst the dirt. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Finally, just end with this one statement. I was online and it said, the best feeling in the world is to know that your parents are smiling because of you. Some of you will never know that. Some of you will never know an earthly parent smiling on you. But I can tell you that as you pursue healing in this area, pursue a way, finding ways to honor your parents, I know God's smiling on you. I know it brings him joy. So thank you.